kingdom by transforming lives to your praise and glory. Lord, we offer up our praise, our gifts to you. Bless them, use them, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. If you'll turn with me in the Bible, iPad, iPhone, whatever it is we're using today, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we begin reading this morning at verse 12 through verse 27. If you'd like to look in our pew Bible, it's found on page 1058. That burgundy book. The Apostle Paul, written to a church, Corinth, writes these words. For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. And so the body is not one part, but many. And if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, in spite of all this, it still belongs to the body. And if the whole body were an eye, then where would the hearing be? If the whole were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the parts, each one of them in the body, just as he wanted. And if we were all the same part, where would the body be? Now there are many parts, yet there is one body. And so the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Nor again can the head to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, all the more, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. And those parts of the body that we think to be less honorable, well, we clothe these with greater honor. And our unrepresentable parts have a better presentation. But our presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there will be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. And so, if one member suffers, then all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, then all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Let's pray. Father, we take these next moments and we look to a passage we have looked to before. We've spoken about it, but it is so important that we truly grasp this as individuals, as a church. We ask that your Spirit will open up this portion of Scripture to us in a new way, making it meaningful, relevant, life-changing. We just give these moments to you. Make us pliable as body, open to receive your word. God, honor your name and bless us from your word. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
How in the world that we live today do we live a life that we find satisfying, where we found our place? We know we found our place and we're comfortable in it. How do we live in this world today and thrive in a world that, especially for the Christian, a world that seems to be becoming more and more countercultural to some of the things that we read and experience in the Bible? How do we bring it all together? How do we make it in this world that we live in? How do we live life as Christians the way God intended us to live? I was thinking about these thoughts and was reminded that we periodically would go to St. Martin, and because they're so inexpensive, we will buy these rafts to float on. We never bring them back because they're so cheap until you stick them in luggage, which you're probably at the max when you got there. You're not going to take it. You just kind of leave it there for a couple bucks. So we get one every year, and every year we take off that tag. And if you've ever purchased one of them, do you ever notice what it says? There's a tag in it. And it says that this is not a flotation device. Oh, this may be nice to float around on, but it's not something that you would take out and use in the depths of the sea and think that you're going to necessarily survive with it. You may, but they're not guaranteeing that. We can attempt to use means that we have available to us and think that we're going to make it in our lives, particularly as Christians. Conjured up these ideas and thoughts. But when we look at this passage of Scripture today, the Apostle Paul really addresses a group of people, a church that's gathered at Corinth. These people are basically a melting pot. We've got people that are Jewish. We've got people that are Gentile. We have people that were slaves. We have people that were free. We have people that represented all kinds of the socioeconomic picture of that day in Corinth. Corinth was probably much like a New York City. It was a commercial center where travel and commerce came from the north to the south, south to the north, east to the west. It was a center point, and so there was so much going on in this community. And into that was this group of people trying to begin a life as followers of Jesus. And they've begun to discover that Jesus has given them abilities and gifts which they begin to use. And just like you, we see here represented here today gifts and abilities that God surely has given, whether you realize it or not. But somehow or other, something's missing in this church. Paul started this church about 51 A.D. It's about 56 A.D. And he's got a message that there's some problems going on in this church. None the least of which is these people just aren't flourishing and functioning in the way they should. They're not making an impact in the community, really. And they're surely having struggles with one another. What's the problem? The best way that we take what Paul says here for these few moments, I put in the words, help me help you. We've talked about this passage. We've really had a conversation really about this message before. But last week we began what we as the leaders of the church feel is a decisive, focused time where we're beginning to say we are looking for God to restart us, to refocus us, to re-empower us, to lead us in the place that we're to go. But for that to happen, one of the things that Paul felt essential is that they understood this message. Help me help you. Now, I came across this title while watching a movie this past week. Y'all know what that movie came, what movie is that came from? How many people saw Jeremy Maguire in this place? You're giving your age away. Some of you didn't see Jerry Maguire? Come over to my house after church today. I'll show it to you. I have it on DVD. It was on TV. It came out in 1996, starring Tom Cruise and Cuba Gooding. And in that situation, it was about Tom Cruise, who was a sports agent during a time when sports was really gaining traction and the big contracts were coming out, driven by these sports agents. And as it begins, one of the athletes that he's representing is injured. And the athlete's son is not impressed by the rah-rah story that Jerry's trying to give him. Jerry goes back to his hotel room and he sits there and begins to take an account of his life, the experience of this little boy, and he's just replaying in his mind. And he gets an epiphany. He decides that His place in life is not satisfying. There's something missing. And with that, he begins to let loose and writes what he calls a mission statement. It's a mission statement that so moves him. When he's done writing it, he goes out, has it printed, and the next morning when he gets to the office, he puts it in the files of everyone he works with in his office, including his boss. Some of those things that were part of the epiphany is we need to spend more time with players. We need to focus. Get this if you're running a business. You'd like to. We need to focus less on money. You know, that's not going to go over too big with the boss. We need to care more. Work together. He's got this wonderful thing that everybody's sitting here looking going, and they're all saying that he won't last 5 days. And he doesn't. He's fired. He's let go, and though he's tried, he ends up with just one client, one football player, Cuba Gooding, and he needs a new contract. It will be his last contract. It's got to be good. But there's questions about his size. There's great questions about his attitude and a memorable experience. One of my favorite moments in the movie, he's standing there, Jeremy Maguire standing there, and he says, "You don't know what I do for you. I get out of bed every day. You don't know what I go through for you." Now, they've come to realize that Jerry needs to get him this contract, Cuba Gooding, this contract, because he needs it to survive. But he needs to get that contract for this player so he can survive with only one client. And literally, he finds himself saying, "You need to help me." He says, "Help me help you." He says it again, "Help me help you." And 3 times, "Help me help you." What he's trying to say to them, him is, look, we need each other. I'm here to help you. But you need to work with me to help me. And what Paul is ultimately saying in this passage of Scripture is just that. What he's saying is if we are going to be living the life that God intended for us to live, that we want to live with the experiences, the meaning, being able to make it in a world that isn't always welcoming of the Christian life that we live, it isn't today. And that's for another message that we'll talk about. Where the world is today and the challenge for us as Christians and how we perceive. And here's the biggest problem. That's how we're perceived. Well, part of the problem is that we need to recognize we need to be there for one another. That's what Paul said. You and I need to be there for one another because we are a body. The church is not an institution. The church is not an organization. And it sure isn't a business. Oh, it's got some thoughts that we have to follow to be sensible, borrowed from the business. Jesus never ever once calls it any of those things. He said the church is a living organism. He refers to it as such in the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, and if you're following along in an outline that I give you, he literally says these words, moved by God. He goes, "He, God, has put everything under Jesus' feet, and he's appointed Jesus to be the head over everything for the church, and the church he refers to as his body." The picture that God wants us to have, and he does through the Apostle Paul, is that Jesus is the center point from which all the orders, all the thought, all the process functions and flows. And we are a living organism. We are a body. And we need to begin to see ourselves as that. We need to see ourselves the way Jesus sees us. We're not a business. We're not an organization. Somebody asked me about their church one day, and I said, "It's nice, but it's a building." They said, "What do you mean it's a building?" I said, "It's a building. It's not the church. When the people of God aren't around, it's a building. I'm sorry. From a biblical perspective, it's a pretty building, but it's a building. The church is people. It's a body, and we are all parts of it. And the first thing, if we're going to follow Jesus, that you and I need to understand about ourselves and our place in that body You need to understand, as a follower of Jesus, you are indispensable in his body, to his body. Get that. That's the first line to fill in for yourselves today. You are indispensable. As we look at this morning, beginning at verse 14, it basically says very simply these words, very, very simple. The body is one, not one, it's one body, but many parts. If the foot should say, I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it still belongs to the body. The ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. In spite of this, it still belongs to the body, because if the body were an eye, where would the hearing be? What Paul is simply saying is, though we are not all the same, everyone in this body is essential. Lose something. Lose an eye. Or lose your hearing. A leg. Now, we have prosthesis for many things today. But it takes much more effort. It's much more difficult. And what he wanted us to see is that in all of our diversity, of all that we are, we come from different places, different economic status, different interests, different calls. And what he's building this on is you all have different gifts that God has given you. But that diversity comes together in the unity of what's known as the body of Jesus Christ. And what he's saying is that each one of you, all of us, we need to fulfill our role. They say, well, they're more important. Or there were some who were saying, well, I'm more important than they are. And Paul's saying, no. Matter of fact, he's going to go further and say, those who think themselves most important, many times they'll find themselves the least important. Oh, they think they're important. Think of this here. What would it be if you showed up in the morning and the bathrooms weren't clean? There's dirt and leaves all over, bulletins from last week, and the windows were so dirty the sunlight couldn't come through. How many of you ever seen the custodian here? Could you identify? Some of you couldn't identify. Not identifiable, but oh, so important. That's just one. Purse does coffee out. Well, and that's one of my favorite purses in the building. Coffee out. Give me my coffee. I went to see the Hanover Symphony last week. I was invited by a friend who was part of it. And as I sat there, it reminded me of the story. The orchestra that comes together for practice, and there's a plane right in the middle, and I happen to be dead center, and I'm looking right at that very person who played the oboe. And as they began to hear all the sounds that were going on around them, they thought to themselves, nobody's going to hear me. I mean, I'm just the oboe. I mean, can you even hear me? I mean, what's the point? I might as well not even play. And in the midst of that musical score, they quit. And within just a few measures, the conductor said, stop, stop, stop. Went to the oboe player and said, why aren't you playing? Why aren't you playing? Do you realize how necessary you are? If you don't play, this can't happen. Because the fullness of the sound, what we hear, is missing. You need to play, or we can't go. And that's what Paul is saying to us. That's what God says. As insignificant as it may seem. And what makes this so difficult in the world we live in is the world I grew up in, regular attendance was considered 4 out of 5 Sundays. You know what regular attendance is considered today in the United States? 2 out of 4. 2 out of 4. That means when folks aren't here half the time, we're not all we're supposed to be with God as God's desire. Half the time. Well, let me challenge you to take the week and just park on one leg for the week and see how your week goes. See how it goes. It's only you have half a leg. What's the problem? Seems fine to me. It draws on the rest. You are indispensable. You are needed here. Your gift is needed here. It needs to be used here. I don't care how young, I don't care how old. You are here for a reason. You are not here by mistake this morning. God has brought you to this place. God says, I want you to hear that you are important to my body, Jesus says. And then the second thing he says to know, and as he continues on, continuing on at verse 20, is that we are independent. We are interdependent on the other parts of the body. That goes from the first. Is that we need each other. You pick up at verse 20. And verse 20, he says these words. Now, there are many parts yet one body, so that I cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Nor can the head say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker are necessary. And so you look at the person sitting near you. You need them. Amen. And I got news. They need you. And when you and I aren't together, when we aren't using our gifts as a body, Jesus, we're not all God's intended us to be. I think one of the challenges that we face is that we have become Lone Ranger Christians. How many of you remember the Lone Ranger? Oh, how good. Jerry Maguire, not so much. Lone Ranger, we're good. Okay, you're with me then. Hey, the Lone Ranger and Tonto, they're out and they're camping in the desert and they set up their tent, climb in, and fall asleep. Some hours later, the Lone Ranger wakes up and nudges his faithful friend Tonto and says, Tonto, look up to the sky and what do you see? And Tonto replies, Kemosabe, I see millions of stars. And Lone Ranger says, what does that tell you, my faithful friend? And Tonto replies, well, astronomically, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies and therefore billions of planets. Astrologically, it tells me that Saturn is in Leo. Time-wise, it tells me it's approximately 3:15. Theologically, it tells me that the Lord is all-powerful and we are small and insignificant. And meteorologically, it seems that we're going to have a beautiful day tomorrow. Then he looks and he says, Kemosabe, what does it tell you? Ron Ranger is quiet for a few moments. And he looks up and he says, Tonto, it tells me that I believe someone has stolen our tent. Because we can see the stars. Tonto didn't quite get that one. Going from in the same just in case I got to explain this, they go in the tent, and all of a sudden he says, look up at the stars. Well, that tent's not there. Just it's really bad when I gotta explain the joke. That's how you should go. The story's point is that we all have different perspective on things. We all have different gifts and approach. And they're both needed. And if you ever follow, I did as a kid, they really, really fed and encouraged them, and they needed one another. And that's the whole idea, that we need each other. We're mutually dependent. And therefore, the last thing is it means that we are interconnected. We're interconnected to the body, to the other parts, that we're not all the same, but each part affects the other part. We are strongest. We are at our most healthy as Christians when we are together. I think the two biggest words today two sayings are, we need to be looking at each other regularly and saying, I need you. I need you. We need to look at one another and say, I need you. And the next thing we need to say is, we're strongest when we're together. We're strongest when we're together, and we need to be together. We're healthier when we're together because we're connected with one another. I'm running out of time. I got to bring this one together. My favorite example of this is the story of Lucy and Linus, who are in the TV room together. And Lucy tells Linus, I want you to go change the channel and put the channel I want. And he says, well, why should I do that? I don't want to watch that. I mean, give me one good reason why I should do that. And with that, she takes her fist and she shows him her fist. She has these five fingers. And she says these words, individually they are nothing. But when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold. And with that, he says, what channel do you want? And with that, he walks to the TV to change the channel, and he looks at his hand and says, why can't you guys get organized like that? The illustration is also used. I can take a piece of string and have no problem pulling it apart, but that I could take a bunch of individual string and put them together, and then I could wrap them, and they grow stronger as they're wrapped together. You see the picture? That's how we stay strong as Christians. That's really what he wants, beginning with our gifts to our personal lives. I had kids growing up, I had five of them, and somewhere along the line, all of them at some point in time would say to me, I don't want to be part of this family. Now as a father, so I had to behave, but I don't know if you've ever been this way as a parent. I've had times where I wanted to say to them, I don't want you to be part of this family either. I didn't really mean it, they just had me frustrated. And they didn't mean it either. I knew that. At least I hope so. They say, I hate this family. But did that make them any less a member of our family? No. They were still vital and loved and connected, and we needed them. And as we close today, the very line that I have for you at the very end to fill in is, it's so important to get this, that as an essential part of Christ's body, the church, I know I need you as a pastor, and every person in this place, every member of this church body needs you. And as a member of this church, I need to do my part to be here, to find out what my role is in this place and fulfill it. Now, a few weeks ago, we handed out spiritual gift inventory, and a number of you filled this out. If you aren't really sure what your gift is, we are beginning to build ministry here, some ministries, key ministries. And in order to find out where it is that you might fit in these ministries, we want to help you identify what is your gift. And I was ready to hand those inventories out with this message this week until we feed them into a computer, your results. We discovered that somehow I missed giving you, if you filled one out, I missed giving you the third page. And it won't let me finish your profile without this third page. So what I want you to do is, if you've never filled out the inventory, we get all three pages. Those you filled out, just takes a couple minutes. It's real short. And if you've already filled one out, I'm going to have them up here. If you've already filled one out, but you didn't get page three, please fill that out, because what I want to do is finish your profile so I can email it to you or talk to you about the ministry that God has for you, because you're indispensable with that. And you need to be part of this, and we need to have you part of this together with us. One last thing I want to give you as we leave today. A couple years ago, and I still have mine, I handed out a little piece of the puzzle. George told me today he still has his. A couple weeks ago, Laura told me she still has hers. Some of you have lost yours. Some of you still have it. Well, it is so important that you have some way of keeping this visible. Some place where on no less than a weekly basis, you're reminded. You're a part of this overall puzzle. I went and got another one by Karen Middleton. It's a pretty picture of God's creation. Some are animals. Some of you are animals. Pretty picture. You can see it. There's 100 pieces. Today, I want you to hang on what you have. You know what? We're going to start a new puzzle here. I said last week is a new beginning in so many ways. And so this morning, we're going to have that part of what we began last week, a new beginning. We're starting a new puzzle with these 100 pieces. We're going to hand them out. And I'm going to keep a record of this. And you know what? When we've got 100 of these pieces handed out and the puzzle's full, you know what I'm going to buy next? 200-piece puzzle. And we're going to fill that out. And we're going to keep making it. It's going to be a reminder. Hey, we got one puzzle filled. That means that we've got new faces coming, new people participating in the body. And it's time to get another puzzle because we have a new body being built. We're refreshing ourselves regularly. What does God have for us today? I'm going to have the ushers at each door handing out a piece of the puzzle. Please keep in a place that's handy, that you see a lot. Be reminded how important, how indispensable, how interconnected, how interdependent we are upon one another. How apart from one another, we just don't make it very well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being here. We thank you that you have given us the privilege of being part of what you are building in the world today. We are part of the body of Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, as we talked about last week, we choose to follow you. We want to follow you. And understanding what that means, part of that means that we're part of a body. And you don't look to us to be Lone Ranger Christians. Rather, you have us being integral parts of the body. Some more visible, some less, some greater, some smaller, but all essential. Father, we pray that as we leave today, we get it. We just don't hear it and leave. We realize that